Okay.
Well, I just want to read these thoughts and share this with you. I promise you, I don't have a whole, when I printed it all out on page, on Word document, it was 3 pages. But I wanted to at least share these things with you as a word of comfort and words to, for you to take home with you today in light of all that's happened. This will be my last message in 2012. And I want to share these thoughts with you. God says in his word in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And so I called us together today so that we could pray together, process together, and heal together as a church family. I wanted to give us and our children an opportunity to process in the presence of God. And that's the difference. I recall how after the horror of 9/11, our church back in St. Louis gathered that same night so that we could pray and process and heal together. And we didn't call it that. We didn't call it process, pray, and heal. We just needed to get together and pray and kind of work through what was happening. And as it was back then, there are far more questions than answers, but it's still important for us to come together like we have today. For 2 days after the Connecticut tragedy, I watched the images of absolute horrific grief, followed by images of our president wiping tears, and then finally the images of the Newtown, I don't know if they pronounce it Newtown or Newton, community gathering in churches. And when I saw that, I knew that's what we needed to do, as get together as a church. People deal with grief and trauma in different ways. Some took, for the past couple of days afterwards, some took to the streets to protest and call for more gun control laws. Some began to complain about how this kind of tragedy happens in urban communities all the time, but it never gets this kind of attention. Some people remain hardened and unaffected, and that's because they've been through so much trauma in their lives that the news of this incident didn't cause them to have much reaction to it at all. To them, yeah, it was sad, but as far as they were concerned, life goes on, because they had to go on. So to them, what's the big deal? And I don't say this to critique them, that's just reality for many people. Even on 9/11, there were some people that were not affected that much because they like, I go through stuff like this all the time. Yeah. The media took it, and with their usual feeding frenzy, they started spouting data and statistics and sensationalizing the tragedy and setting the stage for all the copycats that are out there. Talk show hosts, even on a sports station, I mentioned this earlier today, talked of hugging their kids when they got home. Other talk show hosts began to blame poor school system security procedures. Facebook exploded with posts of pictures and thoughts of the innocent children and their families. And I'm not sure how you, all of you responded. I'm sure we had a whole lot of different responses in our heart and thousands of things going through our minds. But I'm sure that like us, you hugged your children or talked about the horror for a long time, or you just thought about it. And it took a long time for many to go to sleep that night, if they got any sleep at all. The tough part for me is that I hadn't been getting hardly any sleep for weeks before this. And that's why we called for the weekly Sunday prayer gathering since the last Sunday in September, if you recall. I take no pleasure in saying this, but I've been feeling like something horrible was coming. And we've been praying as a church family to rebuild and restore the gates of our hearts and homes. You recall we've been talking about the story of Nehemiah. And it's becoming more and more evident that God has prepared the Urban Life Church family for times like this. I've told you my story on many occasions, how my own mother, she knows all too well how these parents are feeling. In the summer of 1959, she lost her 2-year-old baby boy in a horrible food choking accident while she was pregnant with me. And years later, one of my brothers told me that the house had been dark and quiet for 2 months until I was born. And when Mom and Dad brought the new baby home, life and joy returned to the house. My life was a sign from God of my purpose. I didn't know it at the time, but I was called to bring joy after tears. I was called to declare triumph after tragedy. I was called to bring hope after horror. So it took many years for me to come into that realization. God had to heal me of my always being down and depressed spirit. I was filled with pessimism, and I never expected anything to go right. So he brought a girl from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania into my life to help me in my journey. Yay! For those of you that say, can any good thing come out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania? Yay! I want you to, yay. And I'm looking at a room full of good things that come out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It took many years for me to come into that realization. Many years. But 27 years later, after he was working on me, he sent us to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to connect us to a special group of people, a special family who would join us in this God-assigned destiny to bring healing behind tragedy. God's been healing and restoring and rebuilding our church family's hearts and our homes so that we could all take on this God-given assignment to step in behind the tragedies of life and bring healing into other hearts and homes. We don't proclaim to have all the answers, am I right, y'all? But we trust in the God who does. You know what? God doesn't even have to answer all my questions now. I've kind of reached that point in my life. He don't have to answer all my questions. There are times like this when what I need is healing. I need comfort. I need consolation. Many people think that the answers will bring that. But Mom, you brought that up earlier. The answers is not what's going to provide the healing. The healing comes from consolation from God and comfort. Comfort means to ease the pain. And consolation means that God does something that's so special that he literally removes the sense of loss. Consolation means to remove the sense of loss. And so only God can bring that level of healing. Human beings, we can do things to ease the pain, but what Connecticut needs is consolation. They need to have the sense of loss removed, and that takes God. And what he does is he raises up people like what I'm looking at in this room right now into a ministry that removes the sense of loss in people's hearts. I have a sister who is a kindergarten teacher, and I know her heart was crushed by this. Teachers and educators across the nation were devastated because this was the one scenario that is feared above all. Am I right? When it comes to the safety of their students and their staff, many people are angry with God today and asking why he wasn't there and why he didn't prevent this from happening. And I'll try to answer it like this. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." I believe that God is right here, right now, with us, holding us and crying too. He gave each one of those children life. He gave each one a purpose. He filled them with gifts and talents and personality. So when each life was snuffed out, God's heart was hurt too. Imagine being the creator of these beautiful lives and watching someone who turned away from God's purpose and away from God's plan snuff out what God, what he had created. But the answer is the same. You know, sometimes people say, well, why would God let this guy do this? So why would God let him do this? And the answer is, why does God let any of us do what we want to do? God gives every human being choice. So as much as we're outraged that this young man would choose to do such a horrible thing, God allows all of us to make our own choices every day. And just think about it. He didn't stop us either. He let us rebel. He let us lie. He let us do all kind of stuff that hurt others and even hurt ourselves. No, we didn't go out and shoot somebody, but the Bible says that our tongues can be like a deadly poison or a weapon. We said stuff that wiped out other people's hearts. And yes, God let us do it because he gave us choice. So as much as many people want to blame God, the only thing we can really blame God for is giving us the freedom of choice and letting every single one of us act on those choices. Even for those who tell God to stay out of our lives, get out of our hearts, get out of my home. Well, if you kick God out, the void will be filled by something. So change your mental picture from a distant God who is dropping trials and tribulations on people to a wonderful Father who is crying right alongside of us. That's what it means every time we see the cross. The cross is not just a religious symbol and it's not a nice piece of jewelry. The cross is God's sign to mankind that he totally identifies with every tragedy in our lives. Did you ever stop and think out of this whole situation that God knows how it feels to have someone murder his totally innocent son? Now, every single one of those parents knows how God feels. So that's why the Bible says we don't have a high priest who can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it feels like to have something precious taken away from you. And they didn't do anything wrong. So I urge you today to turn to the only one who can handle your grief because he knows. He's the only one that can handle your frustration, the only one that can handle your rage. And as we close this year and move into 2013, I believe the Lord told us to begin to fight for our families. Our theme for 2013 is going to come from this passage of scripture, from Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, starting at verse 6. It says, so this is talking about how from our story we've been talking about with Nehemiah, how they rebuilt the walls and the gates and everything. So we take it up here. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. So anytime you're talking about rebuilding and restoring your family, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have opposition. Verse 13 says, therefore, this is Nehemiah speaking. He said, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings and set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them, the enemies that are coming in against them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that they were planning on attacking, is what he's talking about, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the houses of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. Wow. Tremendous understanding of what God's requiring for us in our families. In one hand, we're working and building our family back up, but at the same time, we're in warfare. So just know somebody said, fight for your family. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Wow. So starting today, we're going to begin making a very intentional effort to fight for our families. I'm going to be a lot more forthright in the new year in calling us to pray and engage in the spiritual warfare for our families like we've done today. We're going to stand and guard the openings in the walls of our hearts and homes. As we have observed during this horrible tragedy, the evil one is looking for gaps in walls. And we all have them in our families. But the strategy now is to guard the gaps. Now is the time to take our positions. We're not going to wait for something like this to happen in Harrisburg. Look at somebody and say that to them. We ain't going to wait for something like this to happen here. We ain't going to sit around and wait. We're praying now. I strongly feel that unless we stand up now and pray that this same kind of tragedy can come here. You may recall that we had a similar tragedy just a couple of years ago in the Amish school in Lancaster. So it's been very close. It may not be in a school next time. It could be anywhere. Got to remember, we're the state capital. It could be anywhere. So let's get ready. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 14 through 18 says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Many years ago, we were asked to minister in a rural town in Oklahoma by one of my spiritual sons who had been hired as a youth pastor in a church in that community. The very next day after we left that town, they had a school shooting. But all the kids in his youth ministry escaped unharmed. So please heed the call to come together now and pray. According to the word of God, we're living in perilous times, and this horrible massacre, is the Bible says, is only the beginning of sorrows because mankind has rejected God. But I want to assure you and all of the children that are here today, our trust is totally in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bless the Lord. Don't be confused. God didn't do this. But when people reject God, they can unleash their rage on others. Our only safety net is to get connected with God. Always remember this picture. Our safety net is to get connected with God and armored up for the battle for our families. Come on, thank the Lord today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Could you go to Song Show? There's a song on there that says, He Knows My Name. I want us to end with this special song today. And I want you to encourage your families, your friends, those who they haven't had the benefit of sitting in a service to go through processing and prayer. And so I want you to kind of be an extension of this throughout this week. As you hear people processing and talking about it, don't feel embarrassed at all to stop your family or your friends and say, you know what, let's pray about that right now. You know, because people are going to be saying, my thoughts and my prayers, and we should pray, and we should pray. I want you to take the next bold step during this holiday. There's going to be plenty of opportunities during the Christmas holiday, I guarantee you, because people are going to be talking about it. But seize the moment in your family gatherings, dinners, and people coming over and all of that. Seize the moments when the conversation comes up and say, you know what, y'all, let's pray right now. You don't have to go deep on them. Don't go Pentecostal. Father, in the name of Jesus, you don't have to do that. As we used to say, you don't have to bring out the oil and start slinging it on everybody in the room. Just do the same thing that we did here today. Say, you know, guys, let's pray. Like you just said, let's pray for the shooter's family. Let's pray for those moms and dad. And that will help your family to process and to come through it without bitterness, without rage. It'll help your children so that they won't be in fear for going to school. There's a lot of kids going to be scared to go to school Monday. Not just the kids there. I'm sure they're not going to go back till the new year. But our kids are going to be scared to go to school Monday. So already start letting them process. Ask them, talk to them about what's happening and assure them, no, Jesus has you. And let's pray right now. Thank you, Lord. The Lord knows our name. Go ahead and play that. Thank you, Lord. I want to end with this today, with this assurance for every single one of us. This assurance for our families that God, He knows our name. We're not just a number to Him. Thank you. I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. Aren't you glad? And He knows my name. He knows my every thought. And He sees each tear that falls and hears me. Come on, try it. Sing it along with me and say,
I have a Father.
That's right. Come on.
He calls me His own.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do, Lord.
He'll never leave me. No matter where I go.
Come on, declare it today. He knows.
He knows my name.
And He knows.
He knows my every thought.
Oh, yes, Lord.
He sees each tear that falls and hears me.
Come on, sing it to the Lord, everybody. Come on, lift your voice and sing.
He knows my name.
Oh, yes, you do, Lord.
He knows my every thought.
we're so glad that in the midst of tragedy, that you know our names. Thank you, Lord. And you know our every thought. Yes, Lord. You're right there in Connecticut. You see every tear that falls. You hear, Lord, you hear us when we call. Bless you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather together, to get your point of view, to see this from your perspective. You know exactly what every parent, every sibling, every grandparent, every husband, wife, every cousin, uncle, niece, or nephew, you know how they feel today. All across the country, not only in Connecticut where tragedy has struck, somebody got bad news that they've got cancer, they have leukemia. Somebody was told that they've only got a couple of months to live. But Lord, you are right here, you know. And so we cast every care upon you. Thank you, Lord God, for helping us. Even as we're moving into the new year, we pledge today that we will fight for our families. We're going to stand in the gap. Thank you, Lord God, for equipping us, empowering us to build our families and also to be ready with the weapons in hand. May this be a new day. A new day, the beginning of a new day in our country, a new day in our state, a new day in this region, a new day in this city. May this be a new day, even more personal, in my home, a new day in my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Bless the Lord today.